We are recapping our Roto Draft. 12 teams, 5 outfielders, 2 horrible catchers for some people. Adam Azer, Al Melchior, Heath Cummings. Now, we're recording on Tuesday evening, the 31st of March. This is airing on Wednesday, so there will be some news that happens overnight that we don't know about. But I can tell you that Anthony Rendon is out 2 to 3 months with the MCL injury. 2 to 3 months. What?
Oh, that's cruel.
April Fools! Just kidding, everybody.
Wow, that's okay. Awesome.
Yeah. Freak out! Now, I had to do something for April 1st, right?
Right.
Even though it's not actually April 1st right now as we record this.
Yeah, I think that was well executed.
Okay. Yeah, I hope people freaked out and drove... Well, no. I hope you pulled over safely and caught your breath. Anyway, how'd you guys feel about the draft we just did?
Nailed it.
That's it? Very succinct.
Yeah, I don't feel like I nailed it. I feel like it's okay. It's like not my favorite team, but I think it's okay.
Okay, yeah. I didn't want to do this league at all. I was pretty pissed off that Al made me do it, to be quite honest. But now I'm pretty happy because, yeah, things worked out pretty well.
See?
I'm looking forward to playing it out.
So you like your team?
I do like my team. We'll break down our teams, and I took a lot of notes during the draft to talk about some observations, things that can help other people if you're still drafting. But there were some surprising things. I get this. Scott's not on the podcast, but for example, you know, he's been talking a lot about Rougned Odor a lot during the offseason, during spring training. He took Micah Johnson ahead of him. And I get it, because sometimes you have to reach for the trendy guys,
right?
You know? So it made sense. He might still like Odor better than Micah Johnson, but you have to sometimes reach for that. And I think he probably needed steals.
Well, yeah, I heard him say he needed steals, so I'm sure that was a factor.
Do you play poker, or have you played poker?
Of course.
And you've heard the term on tilt?
What does that mean?
It means things have maybe not gone right the last couple of hands, and you let it mentally affect you.
Okay.
And I kind of feel like for the second half, I mean, Scott's a guy that's, in the short time that I've known him, seems like he's really well composed most of the time, and he kind of went on tilt in the second half
really?
Of the draft.
I think it might exaggerate a little bit, but yeah, I mean, he's very even-handed when you know during these drafts, and it was just pick after pick. He was not happy.
Yeah.
And
I looked at his team.
I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah.
Scott likes his team. No, Scott always likes his points league teams. He's always a little wary of his Roto teams, I think, but they're usually just fine. So anyway, we'll get to that. Email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Got a lot of emails to read. Everybody's going to be in Jupiter for some more video stuff at spring training on actual April Fools, as you guys hear this, on Wednesday. So we're doing one. We're doing a podcast on Tuesday. Here is the revelation of the day, the discovery of the day. This is really earth-shattering stuff for fantasy players, and I apologize for not being aware of it beforehand, but it just kind of, I don't think anybody was.
Nope.
Josh Harrison, third baseman for the Pirates, he's not second base eligible, he's not shortstop eligible, but he is middle infield eligible, as well as third base and corner infield, because he must have had at least 5 starts of second base and shortstop combined last year, but not 5 at any of those 2 positions individually. So that's pretty big deal.
Yeah, well, it's 20.
Oh, it's 20.
For the season.
Okay, yeah, 5 is what for?
What's your in season?
In season.
Yeah. But yeah, he played all over the place last year, and he fell a little short. I think at second he was just short. But yeah, obviously together he's middle infield eligible, and that was a game changer for me in this draft.
Right, so you're using him as middle infield, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's read some emails. Actually, just one. Email of the day is from Mark. He says, "Dear Gus Sinski, Jack Parkman, and Dottie Henson."
He spelled Dottie's last name wrong.
It's Hinson, right?
Or I think it's H-I-N.
Yeah. Who's Gus Sinski?
I cheated.
I know who Jack Parkman is.
Yes.
Did you guys know Jack Parkman?
No. These are all baseball movie catchers.
Oh, they're catchers. Oh. What's Gus Sinski from?
Wow,
you're a pretty bad cheater, I gotta tell you.
Well, I mean, I didn't memorize it.
Jack Parkman is from Major League 2.
I think for the love of the game.
Oh, for the love of God, that movie is terrible. That's what.
But
I
Gus was
that
pretty
movie.
Good.
I was thinking about players who could be dealt to better situations: Cole Hamels or any other Philly, Homer Bailey, Jordan Zimmerman. David Price, Tulowitzki, Cargo, Alexi Ramirez. When to start targeting them if their teams get off to a slow start? Let's just talk about how a trade could affect a player's fantasy value. I think with Hamels, it's very interesting because you know he'd probably be valued much more highly if he were in a better wins situation, but he might be at some point in the season.
Well, I think if the perception, and I think in a lot of leagues it probably is this case, that the perception is that Hamels is value is depressed because the Phillies are probably not going to score too many runs. I say target him anytime because for two reasons. One, I think it's very likely he does get traded. And even if he doesn't, you know, sometimes good pitchers on bad teams still win. So yeah. I think that possibility exists for Hamels no matter what.
So why not? Why did you take Jordan Zimmermann ahead of him?
Because Jordan Zimmermann's also really good. A little better than Hamels, I think.
Okay.
But yeah, not a lot that separates them.
On who could get traded, who could get moved?
I think this. It's. I mean, we're just getting ready to start the season. And
yeah.
So it's. I mean, I know what he's trying to do there, and I applaud anybody that's trying to find a way to get an edge this early. It's really, really early for that.
I think you have to really pay attention to it though with relievers.
Yeah, oh yes, yeah. And I guess the one guy that we all talked about before the season, it looks like it's not going to happen, is Papelbon. Mm. But maybe.
Well, we have Ken Giles news anyway.
Yeah, well, so. Ken Giles yes. left with an injury today. So I don't – Tuesday. I don't know. Do you guys have any details on it, if it's serious
not
or not?
No.
He left Tuesday's game with an injury.
I mean, it's happened very shortly before our taping.
Is Ken Giles still worth drafting in – you know, a league where every closer with a job gets drafted. If Soria's worth drafting, is Ken Giles worth drafting, or is there a big difference now?
If you have a draft tonight, before we really get any details, probably not, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, no, I agree that the uncertainty, it stinks because maybe it's a minor thing and you wind up missing out on something. Okay, actually, I'm sorry, I just found something here. This is CSN Philadelphia. Mid-back tightness.
Oh,
says he'll
never
be good
mind.
For the opener. So draft him.
Draft him.
All right, but you still think there's a chance Papelbon gets moved and he becomes the closer?
I think very good chance.
Okay. So tweet of the day, number one. Yesterday was Scott White's birthday. I say yesterday. Just pretend today's Wednesday, everybody. Yesterday was Scott White's birthday, and somebody tweeted him and said, Scott turned 31. Somebody tweeted him and said, happy birthday, Scott. 37 more to go. And Scott said something like, well, that was the most, what did he say? Like, that was the most, what did he say? Depressing?
Foreboding. Or
foreboding, I believe.
Foreboding tweet I've had today. So we're all cracking up like, oh, okay, Scott, congratulations on 68 wonderful years of life. When we realized, Heath realized that he had said on Tuesday's podcast, he wanted to get 38 tweets. Yes. And so this guy said, happy birthday, Scott, 37 more to go. Referring to, of course, tweets. Not yours.
Well, we're assuming that.
Probably.
It makes sense, but...
It was very funny.
Leave the possibility open that this guy is psychic.
In the middle of Scott being just so depressed about his team, he gets this tweet that's like, hey, you're going to die in 37 years.
And Scott says, I think this draft took 13 of those off.
All right, some injuries, news, and notes. Milwaukee manager Ron Renicki said Ryan Braun's thumb, no longer an issue. What do you guys make of that?
I mean, not much. First of all, because there have been other reports prior to this that said that his thumb was fully healed. And I suppose also just because I'm always a little bit skeptical of these kinds of reports from the team, team management. Team.
I mean, if I had to take I buy it or I don't buy it, I'd say I buy it. I think it should be healed by now. We thought it was going to be. So, yeah, I believe that.
Just some background. Last year, Braun said that he didn't know if they'd ever be able to heal it. Didn't seem like there was an option.
Well, he doesn't always say things exactly the way that they are, right?
What are you talking about, man?
Well, I'm just saying there might be a history there of sometimes things he's said have turned out to be wrong.
You should know, since it's kind of a theme on this podcast, I went to college with Ryan Braun.
Oh, okay.
We were buddies.
Okay.
Buddies in that. Maybe he'd wave to me if we walked past each other.
So good friends.
Yeah, yeah.
Close friends.
Exactly.
Okay.
I'll see if I can get him on the show, find out about that thumb. Dominic Brown is going to start the season on the DL with the Achilles tendonitis, but he might only miss about a week. And Dr. James Andrews confirmed that Anthony Rendon has just an MCL sprain, which is good news. But Rendon will get a third opinion before asking six other doctors.
If you don't believe Dr. James Andrews, who do you go to next? Who's the next opinion?
Well, you know, if it was an elbow thing, he wouldn't need a third opinion. But knee, Dr. James Andrews.
He's like, that's
is
not
only,
really
like,
your wheelhouse.
Top three yeah. in the
So why'd you go to him in the first place?
Luke Gregerson is officially the Astros closer. Gregerson went in the 19th round in this 30-round draft, but most people had their... Most of the closers were probably gone by like the 21st round.
And I'm pretty sure that's before the news came out.
That was before the news came out. Jamie actually, I think, had some inside information and already knew it.
No, you think so?
But no, but I think maybe...
Maybe he went to college with Luke Gregerson.
I don't think so.
No, he didn't. All right, so what do you guys think about Gregerson?
Well, I don't know that it really would in this draft. I don't know that it should have made that much of a difference. I guess only in the sense that, let's see, I took Rendon, I think 11th round,
and Rondon,
yeah, who is not injured, not seeking any medical opinions. Sorry about that. And I felt some urgency there because there's so many unsettled situations. So this is one situation that at least you know for now is settled. But, yeah, I still think I don't trust Gregerson a whole lot. Not because of him, but because there are two other pretty good options there.
I'll tell you the three closers who went in the 18th round just before Gregerson. Addison Reed, Henry Mejia, and Santiago Casilla.
Yeah, I do think Gregerson should go ahead of those three.
Yes,
so maybe he gets
bumped
a couple rounds.
Why do you think he – I don't get it. Why do you not like Santiago Casilla?
Why are you whispering?
I'm tired of yelling about it. I would totally take Gregerson over Mejia and Reed, but I just don't know what's not to like about Santiago Casilla.
I think last year is as good as it gets for him. He's not really a strikeout pitcher. He's been really wild for pretty much the whole rest of his career. So that's a bad combination. Put a guy in there who...
The results have been good, though, every year, haven't they? If I remember correctly, just his ERA, I feel like it's around two every year, I'll check.
I suppose, but I know the whips haven't been good, and I know that result in terms of being a closer doesn't matter as much as you get the job done, you prevent runs. But I still think he's vulnerable to not having a good year.
Yeah, his ERA has never been anywhere close to that good.
No?
No.
Maybe I guess I'm thinking of Sergio Romo.
He's been I mean, he had one year where he was down at 3.14, and most of the rest of the time he's
above
4.
Okay, wait a second.
Who? I may be looking at the wrong
page.
Yeah,
you are looking at the wrong page.
Okay,
I'm going to read it.
He's looking at Alexi Casilla.
I'm actually looking at the right page. I was looking at the wrong column.
Oh, okay. What is that?
It was walks per nine.
Because it was right after strikeouts, and I just thought that's where it would be.
No, walks per nine is high. Here's Santiago Casilla's ERA the last five seasons. 195, 174, 284, 216, 170. No. The defense rests. Moving on. Justin Verlander might need to go on the DL, but he could be back pretty early in the season. Ryan Rua is a starting outfielder for the Rangers.
I thought of it just like that when he got taken in our draft.
Really?
Rua.
Rua.
Yeah, he went in the 30th round.
Did he really?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Last round of the draft. So I'll tell you, I took Anthony Gose. I took Marlon Byrd ahead of him. Which outfielders did you guys take ahead of Ryan Rua?
Well, I'll tell you who I took ahead of him, who I probably shouldn't have. I sort of panicked. I mean, it was only two rounds ahead. This is reserve round, so mm-hmm. I think it was 28th round. I took Kevin Pillar. That was strictly because I had Pompey, who is the starting center fielder. But if he struggles, I think Pillar could take that job over, and I just think it's a nice handcuff to have when you're drafting 30 rounds.
I took David Peralta in the 29th. And
I thought about taking him earlier, yeah.
That was kind of a hedge pick for me because I have a lot of Yasmani Tomas. And so,
you do?
Yes.
How many of him do you have in this league?
Zero.
Oh, okay.
Yes. But hedging my overall, I like to think of this as one large portfolio of players.
Hey, let's play a game, Al.
I like that, yes.
Yes.
Which was more, the amount of Royals on Heath's team or Yankees on Adams' team?
Yankees on Adams' team.
Wrong. I believe, but maybe not.
I don't know. I bet it's pretty close.
I don't know if I had four or five.
I had McCann, Gardner, Pineda. I think that's it.
I beat you.
You beat me?
Easily.
What did you guess? You guessed Yankees on Adams' team?
He did.
Oh, come on, man. That's cold. Moving on, J.J. Hardy is going to begin the season on the DL. That could be another short-term thing. We talked about it on Tuesday's show. Some early playing time for Everett Cabrera. Bold prediction. I think Friday we'll do bold predictions, maybe Thursday. Bold prediction, Everett Cabrera will be a roto steal because I think he's either going to play second base for Scope or shortstop for an injured Hardy.
That was such a great pun. That you said he'd be a steal because he steals
yeah,
bases.
He does steal. What do you guys think?
Nah, because I mean, look, I know Scope is not very good offensively, but why? I mean, so you just they're going to be at a timeshare? You think?
I think no. I think he might beat him out. I think he might be a good player. You know, 2 years ago he was like really good. Last year, where was Everett Cabrera going? Al, I think you were kind of down on Everett Cabrera last year, if I remember.
I cannot get on.
I mean, compared
Cabrera
to maybe the year before. Train. I mean, for the bulk of his career, I've liked him as a steal source. Yeah.
I thought you were right. I thought I was trying to give you credit because I thought maybe you were lower on him than everyone else, and he actually had a bad year.
Okay.
But all I'm saying is Everett Cabrera was like a mid-round. Everett Cabrera was like Danny Santana last year, right? Or was it 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
Okay, two years ago. I'm sorry. So, and then he got an injury. All I'm saying is I feel like there's opportunity there. Maybe more so at shortstop because Hardy's obviously an injury.
That I could see, but...
I don't think he beat Scope out.
I don't either. Not that he shouldn't necessarily, but I just don't see it happening.
I feel like he has to be drafted in a league like we just had, right? 12 teams, 30 rounds.
Yeah.
Middle infield spot. Draft recap. Let's go through our teams, shall we?
Oh, yes. Most definitely.
Al. Start.
Adam. Okay. Actually, Keith, if you got it queued up.
I
need to get my
I've got it queued
up.
Once again, Paul Goldschmidt
yeah.
on my team.
What pick did you have?
Five. I draft between 3 and 6, and I take Paul Goldschmidt, and that's how every draft starts. And
cool.
I'm pretty happy about that.
Good.
What is different is I took a pitcher in the second round, which I don't generally do. But Scherzer fell to me, I feel like, and I feel like he's the second best pitcher, and I think there's a chance he's going to be the best pitcher this year. So
I considered it. I had the eighth pick. I considered Scherzer in round two. I'm glad I didn't because I ended up with Bumgarner in round three. But no, I don't blame you.
And then the third round decision was kind of made for me. I didn't feel like I could let Rendon fall any farther than I did. So once again, and this has kind of been the theme of the drafts for me, I feel like the first three or four rounds, I'm just like, man, I'm killing it. And then...
That's exactly how I felt.
Something goes awry.
Let me set the format, actually, for people. It's 12 teams. It's rotisserie, 5x5. So runs, batting average, home runs, RBI, and steals for hitters. Wins, ERA, whip, strikeouts, and saves for pitchers. And two catchers, 5 outfielders, first base, second base, third base, shortstop, corner infield, middle infield, and a utility hitter. And then 9 pitcher spots to be divvied up any way you please. That would be 23 spots with 7 reserve rounds as well. So this was a 3.5-hour draft, I think. Took a while.
Yeah.
Didn't really feel that long, though. I mean, it was fun. And yeah, I think you're going to notice in a draft like this, the hitting dries up pretty quickly after, what, 5 rounds, 6 rounds? And then it's like...
Yeah.
Then it's like you don't really feel great about your picks.
Well, and I took Greinke in the 5th, and I think he should be gone by then. So that's why I took him. But it's one of the few times this year I've taken a second pitcher in the first 5 rounds. And I really felt like for the next 4 or 5 rounds I was playing catch-up on offense.
So you wouldn't do it if you... Because you could have gotten, say, Bumgarner or Cueto in round 3 and taken...
Yeah, but... I'd rather have Scherzer in round 2. I think maybe I shouldn't have taken Greinke.
Yeah, I did think that Greinke was a little early. Just there were so many good pitchers, but probably similar to Greinke.
You took Harvey right after that, and I would have loved to have had Harvey there. Al took Garrett Richards a few picks later.
Which was weird.
I don't feel like he's on the same level as those two, but I understand why Al did that because Al wants to get Garrett Richards on a team. It's kind of like the whole portfolio thing.
Okay, sure.
Okay, yeah. Well, how about you run down your team and how it ended up? You gave us the first 5 rounds, round by round, and then your team.
Okay, so I've got, I've already done the first 3. Goldschmidt, Scherzer, Rendon, Dickerson, because I love Rockies outfielders.
You do.
And Zach Greinke.
Okay, and your team is?
You want the whole team.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of go slowly.
Okay. I can go as slow as you'd like. Okay, I've got at catcher, Yachty and Jasso.
Jasso.
Yeah. We don't say things. And I told this to Al when I first got here. I listened to you guys a lot on the podcast on the way down here. And we say so many things the wrong way in the Midwest. Even our announcers do.
Really?
Rex Huddler, Ryan Lefebvre, they pronounce people's names wrong every game. But we just don't care, and that's the way it is. I mean, it's like a different language almost, okay. I guess. But anyways, Goldschmidt at first, Rendon at second, Chris Davis at third, Alcides Escobar at short.
Yeah, I'm just going to say Royal whenever you pick a Royal. But
okay,
ahead.
You just say Royal, okay. Middle infield, Daniel Murphy. Corner infield, Ryan Zimmerman. And the outfield, the Rockies, Blackman and Dickerson. Billy Hamilton, which I got in the sixth round, and I'd almost kind of punted Steels to that point, so he was just a perfect fit. Steven Souza, Jason Wirth, and Devon Travis.
Okay. So you've got your Steels from Hamilton, and I'll see it as Escobar. Dickerson and Blackman could give you some steals. Rendon could give you some steals. Goldschmidt will give you steals for a first baseman. So you should be, I don't know if you're going to win that category, but
you should be in pretty good shape.
You should be in good shape there. You got your power from Goldschmidt, Rendon, Chris Davis, hopefully Ryan Zimmerman. Yeah, no, it's not bad. I mean, it looks like maybe it falls off a little bit with Souza and Travis.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I would say
you can't get too picky.
No.
And Travis would be your DH. You could plug in Pagan if you wanted the steals, Peralta if he breaks out for power.
Yeah.
Let's get your pitching staff. Go for it.
Okay. I'll try to go in order I took him here. Scherzer's clearly the ace. Then Greinke. Then Giordano.
Royal. Sorry.
And I don't remember. Chris Tillman, I guess, came next.
You don't have to go in order.
Okay. Kyle Hendricks, Henderson Alvarez, Mike Minor, Jeff Locke, and then I've got Holland and Kenley Royal. Jansen. Mm-hmm.
And Wade Davis, Royal, and Pat Neshek.
And Soria. Don't forget Soria.
And Soria, former Royal.
Former Royal.
I don't love your pitching.
Oh, I really do.
Well, I don't, bud, because first of all, I'll give you Soria in a month. Have a closer. But you're not going to win saves. In fact, you might be bottom half in saves unless you start making up some pickups.
Right.
My personal opinion is, in a league like this where holds aren't a category, I don't really think middle relievers are worth it.
Right.
This is a reserve round pick for Wade Davis. I mean, that's where you do that. You get your saves in the regular rounds, and then you get your handcuffs and closers in waiting in the reserves.
So your rotation is Scherzer, Greinke, Ventura, Hendricks, Mike Minor, Chris Tillman.
Henderson Alvarez,
Jeff Locke.
Yeah.
Feels middle of the packy to me.
Okay. Well, I mean,
Al,
sure.
What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the really great 1-2, and then I feel like there's kind of a hole where there should be a number 3 and number 4 starter. Minor could be one of those, but...
So you think Ventura is a 5?
I think Ventura could be a 4.
You know what, though? Your hitting is probably better than I realize. So it's obvious that you took Greg Holland early.
Yep.
And two, you took more hitters. So you waited a long time between your second starter, Greinke, and your third starter, Ventura.
I don't think I took a pitcher from round 5 through round 13.
Yeah. Well, it shows.
Yes.
In good ways and bad ways.
Yes. It's okay. It's a top-heavy rotation.
That's all right.
Yeah, I've got Ventura 50th in Roto, so
okay.
Know, with a little more breakout.
Yeah.
Then you're counting on that.
Right. Yeah. No, I think it's probably...
I think he's too low on.
Yeah.
Too low.
Yeah, I do too, obviously. Or
I can hear you. Even when you're whispering.
I wouldn't continue to take him if I didn't think so.
Well, I know Al's rankings. Like, he's 50th, but that doesn't mean you wouldn't be surprised if he's 35th.
No,
it's,
I mean,
so even.
50th is, you know, kind of the middle of the road where I see him going. And Ventura, more than a lot of pitchers, has a broad range of possibilities.
All right, Al Melchior.
First five rounds. All right. So I started off with Altuve. Yeah, the 11th pick overall, which I'm in a Roto League, I'm very happy about.
That's awesome.
And then coming back, the second pick of the second round, Anthony Rizzo. And that's something that's kind of worked out in a couple of different drafts where Rizzo and Encarnacion were on the board at the turn, figuring one of them, only one of them is going to get taken, and that's exactly what happened.
Right. So you well played.
So thank you. Thank you. So yeah, I was happy with that start.
You had the 11th pick, right?
And that, excuse me, I had the 11th pick. Yeah. So that does influence some of these other picks, which I admit, on you know, on the surface, don't really look good. Like my third round pick, Jordan Zimmermann, not ideally who I want as my number one starter, but I think he's viable. You know, he's just not one of the top six or seven in my rankings. In fact, Cueto went two spots before him in this draft, and I would have been a lot happier with Cueto than Zimmermann, but... when you wait so long to make another pick, I felt like I had to nail down my top starter there. So took Zimmermann in the third and then second pick in the fourth. I took Bryce Harper. I actually had Dickerson ranked just ahead of Harper.
Yeah.
But this is a case, again, where I waited a little. I've been getting Dickerson. I've been getting him as a number two outfielder in a lot of leagues.
Yeah.
I think Harper's got more upside.
Right. Yes.
So I went ahead and took Harper there over Dickerson.
And I was glad that you did.
I'm sure you were.
Yeah. Okay, so Harper was your fourth pick, and then your fifth pick
was, and then this is Garrett Richards. Yeah. And I really struggled with this one a lot. I thought about taking Billy Hamilton here. It felt a little early. I thought about Arrieta, DeGrom, but the sinking feeling that I had at this point was that I saw Richards there very high in terms of the remaining starting pitchers that were left, and it just seems like in draft after draft after draft, I put him on my queue, and he gets taken out from under me, and I didn't want to take that chance because I think he's got more upside than Arrieta and DeGrom.
Combined?
No. That's some good hyperbole there.
How do you quantify upside?
You know, Al, it's just so... I have no idea. It's so...
it's just something we say.
Drafting late toward the end of round one is really tough for starting pitching. So I didn't really like your Zimmermann pick, but I totally get it, especially now looking back at the results. Because, like, let's say... I don't know. I think maybe I would have just gone four hitters with my first four picks and then maybe taken two starting pitchers in rounds five and six. So maybe I would have gone Altuve, Rizzo, Braun, Harper... And then gone at the end of round five, Arrieta and then DeGrom, or Arrieta and Garrett Richards, or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm not saying that that's better than what you did, which is instead of taking Braun and Harper, you took Harper and Jordan Zimmermann, and then you took Garrett Richards and DeGrom. Okay, so you went pitchers in both rounds five and six.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That's a lot of pitchers for you. That's three in your first six picks.
It is. And I continue to go pitcher heavy. So it's just where I saw the value.
Okay.
When I made the picks.
Yeah. It's really tough because you know, if you don't take a pitcher in round two, and how can you pass up Anthony Rizzo? If you don't take a pitcher in round two, one or two, you're not getting an elite ace in round three. So at that point, you either. Maybe reach a little bit for Zimmermann, who's still really good. Or you load up on hitting and you try to hit the next tier, the Arrieta, DeGrom, Richards tier, and get a couple of those guys, maybe go earlier with your third pitcher. And I don't know. I probably would have gone the hitting route, but I see what you did. I totally get it. So, all right.
So let's put it all together then.
Yeah, go ahead and break down your team.
All right, so catchers are Salvador Perez.
Royal.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I went kind of Royal heavy early on.
Yes, you did.
And I'm pretty sure it's the first draft of any kind, including mocks, where I've gotten Perez. So I was pretty happy with that. And then Wilson Ramos is my number two catcher, who I have in a lot of leagues. Rizzo, Altuve. Headley is my third baseman. Initially, I had Josh Harrison slotted in there, but I was able to move him over to middle infield when I saw that Headley had more value than the remaining middle infield options kind of late in the draft. So Headley's at third, and I've got Jake Lamb to back him up during the reserve rounds. Ben Zobrist is my shortstop, one of the earlier grabs I've made for shortstop this spring. Harrison at middle infield, Michael Morse, corner infield.
Marlin.
Marlin. Yeah, he is a Marlin.
And, I think the only one. Outfield, here's what I'm not really super happy with. So I've got Harper, Alex Gordon is my second outfielder, Jock Peterson. I can't say it like you, Adam.
Nah, I can't. I don't want to kill it.
So Jock Peterson is my third outfielder, Kadire fourth, Pompey fifth.
Ooh.
I don't think it's ooh, but it's
kind of
you know, because look, I think Gordon is a legitimate second outfielder, but he's just one of those guys that it's like
in a roto league.
Oh, well, sure,
but he doesn't homer or steal bases, really.
Well, okay, he doesn't steal bases, but at that point, a guy with moderate home run power who can hit for average, that's actually worth something.
And the nice thing is you've got Drew Stubbs in the reserve round, so as soon as one of the Rockies' outfielders gets hurt,
yes,
he'll plug in nice as your number three outfielder.
Yeah, that was kind of the thinking.
Oh, he's a number five outfielder. Number four, number five.
For the 2 or 3 months that he's playing every day?
He ain't that good.
I mean, it depends. I think that's his upside. It's not what I'm counting on.
That's why I wouldn't have gone with three pitchers in the first six picks. Like, don't you wish you had a better lineup?
Not really. I'm happy with it.
All right. So
I'm happy with it because I think Gordon is underrated, and I think Kadire is underrated too. The concern there for me is not production; it's health.
Yeah.
Your
utility is Mike Napoli.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. And then let's see, pitching. So yes, we've got Zimmerman, Richards, DeGrom, and then I was still able to pick up Michael Wacha. I thought fairly late.
Okay. Nice.
Number four starter, Drew Smyly. Obviously not going to be their opening day, but probably shortly thereafter. When he's back, he'll be my number five starter. And then Jimmy Nelson, number six.
Yeah,
so
that's great.
I'm really happy with that. And I think that's why I can live with my outfield being a little underwhelming.
And you have Melanson, Boxberger, and Hector Rondon.
Yeah, and I'm very happy with that. I've got two closers that I think are very solid. And then Boxberger, a potential elite closer if he actually keeps the job.
And you invested more in your second catcher. So you have Salvador Perez and Wilson Ramos, whereas Heath and I mean, Heath has John Jaso at least. I have Francisco Cervelli as my second catcher. You know, as much as I preached about how it's very important to get a good second catcher in a two-catcher league, I wasn't able to do it.
They just flew off the board.
They did a little bit.
And every time I thought, well, okay, I've gotten to the point I feel like I could take this guy, and then two picks later he's gone.
You know what ended up really screwing me up was, I think one of you was starting to mention it, the closer position is not good. There are just not that many when everybody wants three closers, when most teams in this format want three closers and there are 12 teams. Man, it's tough.
See, that's why I went three setup men, so it's the market in efficiency.
So, like, I'd never take Kimbrel, Holland, or Chapman, but I didn't wait too long to get my guys. I took, like, a lot of, like, guys who were around 10th to 15th best at the position, I think. So, anyway, I'm happy about my team because my first five picks, I think they could not have worked out any better for me, being a roto league and not a points league. Carlos Gomez, round one. Yasiel Puig, round two. Madison Bumgarner, round three. Ian Desmond, round four. Matt Harvey, round five. Gomez, Puig, Bumgarner, Desmond, Harvey. I mean, I was like ecstatic about the fact that we were going to play this league out. And then it got a lot harder. So my lineup ended up being McCann and Cervelli, Yankee and former Yankee. Steve Pierce. I'll tell you this, guys. If Steve Pierce has a big year, I'm going to win every league. Because he's on, like, every one of my teams.
I'm going to win every league. Okay. Mark the tape.
I don't like the fact that he's on every one of my teams, but I've got a lot invested in Steve Pierce. Ian Kinsler at second base. Manny Machado at third base. Ian Desmond at shortstop. I do like the infield. Jed Jerko at middle infield. Very late pick. I think he was a reserve round pick.
You took him right before I wanted to.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Brandon Belt at corner infield. I went a little early on corner infield because I waited so long on first base. So I have Pierce at first and Belt at corner. Outfield, Gomez, Puig, Soler, Brett Gardner, Coco Crisp, and CJ Krohn is my DH with Marlon Byrd and Anthony Gose on the bench. And my rotation is Bumgarner, Harvey, Garrett Cole, Michael Pineda. I practically did backflips when I was able to draft him. James Paxton. I did somersaults when I drafted him. And who's my number six?
Holland?
Derek Holland. Thank you. On the bench, I have Kyle Gibson, Irvin Santana, and C.J. Wilson. Oh, and Aaron Sanchez. And Neftali Feliz, Cody Allen, and Drew Storen are my closers. I'm pretty happy with the team.
That pitching staff's really solid. Really good.
Thank you. Now, I've been pretty rude to you guys about your team, so feel free.
I think it's a pretty good team.
I know.
Actually, because
I'm pretty happy with it.
Nothing really stands out as a weak spot here.
First base, but
okay,
Steve Pierce. But I figure it's an easy-ish position to find. Between Pierce, Belt, and Crone, one of them should be top 12-ish.
I feel like of our three teams, your team has the widest range of outcomes. Like if I could see this team running away with the league. But I could also see like three or four of these guys just completely imploding. And
like
you
who?
Saying, how? This team was going to be so good. What happened?
Like who?
I'm not sold on Ian Kinsler. He's getting worse and worse, in my opinion. Machado has a ton of upside, but he's not proven.
Some of them are definitely going to suck. I mean, that's just the nature of fantasy baseball.
So I'm just saying, looking at your infield, the Steve Pierce we know is a wild card.
Yeah.
We're not sold on Ian Kinsler. Manny Machado's got a great chance at upside, but the whole infield could implode.
I agree, except for Desmond. Desmond seems pretty safe.
Yes. Your outfield's outstanding, obviously.
No, you're right about my infield. I will say that with Kinsler and Machado, I got them at appropriate values. Yeah. I didn't reach for them, which was good. I'd like to see Jerko do something. I mean,
yes,
I
would too.
He's just an afterthought right now, you know, and he was certainly not that last year. All right, so some things that I took from this draft. I don't know if you can pull this off, but Marone Bergson, who drafted first overall, he got at the 4-5 turn, he took Brian Dozier and Jose Reyes.
I almost thought he'd won the draft at that point.
Yeah, that was tremendous. The hitters, I thought, you know, they weren't too enticing in round five, really, like starting in round five.
Hence Garrett Richards.
Yeah. No, I get that, Al. I mean, you don't want to reach. You know what I found myself doing? I was so focused on the positions that I needed that I was missing other really good players at positions I already had. And maybe, like, I was so focused on who was in my queue that I was kind of missing out on other available players. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, crap, you know, I should have taken that guy instead of my middle infielder or something like that.
And maybe I'm wrong about this, but I'm looking at the hitters that went in the sixth round.
Yeah.
And it seems like a lot of these guys generally go in the fifth round, and we say that they're overdrafted because they're going in the fifth round.
Like who? Like Kinsler and
Billy Hamilton.
Votto. Votto, maybe.
Yeah.
Right.
It feels like that sixth round looks like what a lot of fifth rounds do from a hitter's perspective.
Kipnis, Votto, Kinsler. Yeah, I agree.
Cargo, Hamilton.
J.D. Martinez went in the sixth round, which is earlier than usual, but I don't think anyone has a problem with that, right?
No, not at all. And he was, you know, somebody, when I was taking Richards in the fifth, you know, I didn't take him in the sixth either, but I was really hoping he'd last till the seventh. Again, because he's been going later in drafts, and I was thinking about it at that point.
So, Heath, you were the one who took Billy Hamilton. You did it in the sixth round. At that point, you had Goldschmidt, Rendon, Dickerson, Scherzer, and Greinke. So I put in the notes, Heath loves Greinke.
Who doesn't?
L-U-V-S. Al doesn't.
Well, that figures.
When you drafted Hamilton, how did that change things for you?
Well, I will say that I kind of, when I made that Greinke pick in the fifth round, at that point was hoping Billy Hamilton comes back to me.
Okay.
And I really thought he probably wouldn't, but I felt like that made me feel a lot better about having two pitchers in the first five picks, because I'd kind of I hadn't secured steals yet, but I already had Goldschmidt, Rendon, Dickerson. I felt like my power, I knew I was going to take Chris Davis late. So I thought, like, power-wise, I was in pretty good shape. Hamilton just secured steals for me.
Yeah.
I thought that was just the perfect pick at that point for me.
I might have sold you short on steals. You might win that category. Yeah, you got to look, because you had Blackman, too.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, Billy Hamilton goes a long way.
It really does. All right, first closer off the board, went 70th overall. I think it was Chapman. And then Heath took Holland seven picks later, and then Kimbrel immediately after. So within eight picks, we had three closers go, and then David Robertson went like five picks after that.
So when Chapman went seven picks before you, did that just absolutely seal it?
No, not necessarily. And I'm trying to think, because I had really kind of almost decided I wasn't going to go closer early. And then I remember getting to that point, and I was like, well, I'm not going to take another starting pitcher. And there's not a hitter that jumps out to me here that I have to have. Why wouldn't I take Holland, who I think is probably the best closer? So, I mean, that wasn't near as planned as the some of the other things were. But, and I guess the only problem with doing that is that's probably what caused me to wait a while to worry about saves, because I thought, well, I've got Holland. And then I ended up being weak at saves. Hmm.
George Maselli took two closers in the first nine rounds. He drafted one in round seven, and then he took Zach Britton in round nine. So I want to look at his team. Posey and Montero at catcher, Duda, D. Gordon, Chris Bryant, Jimmy Rollins, Rougned Odor, Pedro Alvarez. Odor and Alvarez are middle infield and corner infield. And then we've got Stanton, Lorenzo Cain. Well, I guess it was probably Stanton, Brandon Moss, Lorenzo Cain, Shin-Soo Chu, and Nick Markakis in the outfield with Brett Lurie at utility.
So his outfield suffered because of his closers.
Or his infield.
Yeah, I was going to say, the whole team was really solid up until that point. Yeah,
yeah. His pitching staff is Kluber, Wainwright, Gio, Tyson Ross. That's pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
Shoemaker, and who's the...
Porcello.
Porcello. Poor fellow. Koji Uehara, Zach Britton, Aroldis Chapman, and he has Sean Doolittle as well.
Boy, if Uehara comes back healthy, he is going to probably dominate saves.
You know what? I thought he made some questionable picks. Like, I thought maybe Bryant was a little too early in the closer thing, but he actually pulled together a decent team here. Just needs to work on that outfield.
Yeah, that's, you know, it starts with Stanton, so that's obviously good, but yeah, that's really the only weakness I see.
Colton Wong was the first pick of round eight, to which Heath Cummings said, quote, "The price is Wong." Would you thought that was too early?
How could I not say that? I mean, really? I'm not a big Colton Wong fan.
Oh.
I think he's being overdrafted. I mean, I am, but I think he's being overdrafted.
Well, I took him off my sleepers list for that reason. I thought he would, you know, go later and be a great value, but he's being, he might be a little overdrafted, actually.
So I mentioned the trendy guys going kind of early. Taiwan Walker went before Michael Pineda.
Which was weird.
I think that's indefensible.
It's weird. I'm not sure it's indefensible.
I mean, look, time might tell otherwise, but I think it's kind of crazy. And Micah Johnson going before Rougned Odor, Brandon Phillips, Scooter Gennett, Jed Jericho. It's not that crazy. But, yeah, it's just something to keep in mind. Arizmendi Alcantara, last pick of round 19. What do you guys think of that?
No, I thought it was good.
Yeah.
At that point in the draft.
It's good value.
All right, let's behind Scott's back, let's read his team and pick it apart.
Awesome.
Scott loves to wait for catcher and draft Steven Vogt as a first baseman who he will then move to catcher and drop, in this case, Tyler Flowers or Deonner Navarro. So
how would he ever choose which one of those two to drop?
He has Flowers and Navarro. He has Jose Abreu and Neil Walker, Nolan Arenado, Alexi Ramirez, Micah Johnson at middle infield, Albert Pujols at corner infield.
Before we go to the outfield, I told Scott when I was looking at that, well, I kind of like your infield. And he looked at me like I was maybe the stupidest person.
I would look at you the same way. I don't like his infield at all.
I mean, it's anchored by Abreu and Arenado.
Well, his catchers are terrible.
Okay. He didn't actually have any catchers at that point.
Well, it would have looked better with no catchers than those catchers.
The possibility of what could be a catcher. He took his catchers in the 29th and 30th rounds.
Yeah, and I don't know. That seems like a little too passive.
You think?
I get it.
Can't really be more passive.
And the thing is with catchers, like, that's not a position where you're typically going to make out well on the waiver wire. Like, Devin Mesoraco was a waiver wire pickup last year in some cases, but is there anyone that could do that this year? Because he had hype at one point. You know?
I mean, the only thing I could think of, and he's not going to start the year with the team, is Swihart. You know, if the Red Sox bring him up, I think they could bring him up early and give. I think if he's up, then he's going to play at least 50%.
Yeah.
Other than that, yeah, it's very, very slim pickings.
Alexi Ramirez at shortstop, whatever. Pujols at corner infield is better than a lot of corner infielders, but obviously he invested more in that. And I don't know. Pujols scares me. I think he scares you, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's your corner infield?
No, it's good for corner infield, obviously. Okay, outfield. Nice outfield here. Adam Jones, yeah. Jacoby Ellsbury, Hunter Pence, Mookie Betts, A.J. Pollock. A lot of speed there.
Yeah, better than nice.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
Great. Chris Carter at DH. I gagged.
So did
but
he.
But he also has Denard Smith. Yeah.
4 rounds later, Scott says, I can't believe these guys are still on the board. Why did they take Chris Carter?
That's the thing. You took him in round 10. There are a lot of good hitters still available. Denard Span, though, he took. That was a good pick, Denard Span.
Yes.
Also, Michael Taylor he took, J.J. Hardy, Justin Morneau. His pitching staff is Julio Teheran, Alex Wood, James Shields, Justin Verlander, Jason Hamill, Kendall Graveman. Did I miss someone? No. So,
nope.
Teheran, Wood. Oh, wow. Braves. Shields, Verlander, Graveman, and Hamill. Glenn Perkins, Jonathan Papelbon, Bobby Parnell, and Raisel Iglesias. So
and
only
has, Jake
oh, and
McGee.
Jake McGee.
So, yeah, he's pretty good shape for saves, but, yeah, the rotation's pretty mediocre.
Considering Pence and Span and Parnell and McGee, Scott's going to be looking up in the standings for a little while.
Well, this explains why he said, how many DL slots are there in this league?
And
how
Verlander.
Many are there?
5.
He has 6 players to go on the deal.
Well, there you go. So
1 too many.
It was a fun draft, and I look forward to crushing you. I also look forward to FanDuel. Actually, very much looking forward to FanDuel. Don't miss your chance to join before the season starts. Sign up right now. Play one day fantasy baseball, FanDuel.com. We got a special offer on FanDuel. New users, every dollar you deposit, FanDuel is going to match it up to $200. And it gets earned as you play, so that's a bonus of up to $200. And the offer is only good for the first 50 people to use the offer code CBS. So get on there right now, FANDUEL.com. Sign up today, use that offer code CBS.
In the morning, on the website, our first opening day lineup for FanDuel. Way
tomorrow
too
morning?
Early. Tomorrow morning. Yes.
Oh, as in Wednesday morning or Thursday morning?
Today. Just happened.
Yeah.
Hot off the press.
Okay, let's read emails. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. Kyle in Minneapolis?
Yes. Mupples.
Maples.
Hi, Brian, Hobbs, and Dom. I don't know. Setting up a new head-to-head points league, wondering if there are any tweaks to the CBS standard head-to-head format you would add or change to make the league more enjoyable. For example, 2 points for an RBI or a total bases category. What do you think? Well, it's a points league. So
right.
Really
so total bases is kind of built into that. And I like it just the way it is, much like Billy Joel does.
I think I would do one thing. I would make caught stealing minus 2 points, which is you know, stolen bases are 2 points. So I feel like if you're going to be rewarded 2 points for a steal, you should lose 2 points for a caught stealing rather than one.
Or maybe even 3.
An Are you out, serious?
Oh, I'm just saying if we're trying to make it what it's actually worth, an out is worth more than advancing one base. That's why we don't like sacrifice bunts as much anymore.
Mm, no, Ned Yost does.
Well, Ned Yost likes to steal bases, too. Ned Yost would disagree with me saying maybe even 3. But
I actually do like it just the way it is.
Yes.
I think it's good.
We shouldn't change anything.
Yeah. Next up. How much is too much to pay for... Oh, this is from Jeremiah. How much is too much to pay for someone's first-round pick? Example, I want Miguel Cabrera, and I'm offering Puig and Chris Davis. What do you think of that? And the question in general is, how much is too much to pay for a first-round pick?
That's too much.
Not to me, it isn't.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with Adam, because, in fact, did you notice in this draft third baseman, that big cluster of risky third baseman, how late they all
it's
went?
The best. That's why I love third base.
So, yeah, I mean... Maybe a different player with seventh round value,
I guess
I would pass on it, but I feel confident I could replace Davis pretty well.
And I need to look at this. I mean, it depends on if he's asking in terms of draft picks. If I turned Cabrera into Paul Goldschmidt, then I wouldn't feel like it was too much.
Sure. So if it was Goldschmidt for Puig and Davis,
then I feel like that was that'd be okay.
Now, the important thing is here, Jeremiah is in a 10-team league. You're going to hear us talk about this a lot. Trading for elite players, like giving up 2-for-1 in a shallow league, is a great idea. You free up a roster spot. There's good players on waivers. You want the most elite talent you can get. In a deeper league, maybe I wouldn't give up Puig and Davis for one guy, for Miguel Cabrera, because you want more balance on your roster. So that does factor in for sure. Jameson DeSantis, rank the upside for late-round starting pitchers. Shane Green, Jimmy Nelson, Derek Norris, Daniel Norris. Sorry.
I think about Derek Norris' upside is very low.
Kendall Graveman or Kyle Hendricks? You're ranking upside here. Shane Green, Jimmy Nelson, Daniel Norris, Kendall Graveman, Kyle Hendricks.
Well, he's far from my favorite pitcher in the proverbial vacuum out of this group, but I think Norris does have the highest upside.
I was going to say Norris, Graveman, Hendricks, Nelson, Green.
I'll go, because, yeah, I didn't play the game properly. Norris, Nelson, Green, Graveman, Hendricks.
Teddy Ted wrote me an email. I actually got a number of complaints about this, so I do want to clarify. As you know, Scherzer is 2 years older than Felix Hernandez, right? And this all comes from, I think, last week I was saying I would take Scherzer over Felix. I guess I mentioned age. I shouldn't have. I also said Kluber. I just should have said innings. It has nothing to do with age. It has everything to do with major league innings and consecutive 200-inning seasons, and that's why I would take Scherzer and Kluber over Felix. So I actually got a lot of enough feedback about that where I misspoke, and it's all about innings. No treble. Josh from New York City says he drafted Matt Fancy Triangle Sandwiches Kane in a 10-team head-to-head daily league, and I'm feeling anxious about his spring numbers. I want to believe he can bounce back. Should I drop Kane for other starters on waivers, such as Drew Pomeranz, James Paxton, or Mike Minor?
I would drop him for Minor in a hot second.
Yep.
In a 10-team league.
I agree.
I would drop him for all three.
Actually, yeah, in a 10-team league, I'm just not that hot on Pomeranz. Although, let's see, this is head-to-head. So Pomeranz, I'm assuming, has...
Well, it's head-to-head daily. I feel like that's usually a categories thing.
Yeah. Okay, yes. Well, in any event, I would, in a 10-team league, drop him for Minor or Paxton.
Reed from Wisconsin. Hello, Kirby, Kent, and TK. I gotta start looking these up. Man, these used to be like, hello, Barney, Fred, and Wilma. You know, like, it used to be easy. What are your thoughts on whom to add when putting a player on the DL? Best available player or replacement at that position? What do you think?
Well, it depends on if you already had a backup at that position or not.
Right.
You look so flustered.
Well,
I want more options.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on if you already had an acceptable backup at that position. In theory, if you had a backup at that position, then you'd want the best available player.
Yeah. I guess if I just reference what usually happens for me in this situation, I'm usually going for best player at that position because I don't usually have that flexibility.
Ah! Twins.
Kirby, Kent, and TK?
Yes.
The Arnold Schwarzenegger movie?
No!
Yeah, duh.
Kirby Puckett, Kent Herbeck, Tom Kelly.
Okay, I didn't get TK. Twins.
You didn't get Kirby or Kent either.
No, when you said twins, I still didn't know who the hell TK was. The Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. Naeem from Las Vegas says, dear Todd, Mike, and Jordan.
That's a little bit.
Those are White Sox.
Are they?
No.
Oh, okay. 12-team points head-to-head league. I got these starting pitchers for less than $5. Lincecum, Sabathia, Burnett, and Kane. Who can return value at that price, and who will I probably waive by June? Lincecum, Sabathia, Burnett, and Kane.
I don't think it's likely any of them will. I actually think Burnett's chances are probably the best.
The one guy I really want to believe in here is Lincecum, so I'm going to say him.
No!
I want to.
You can't be on a podcast with me and support Tim Lincecum. I have been on a crusade the last 2 years against...
What would you like to happen to him?
Just him lose his rotation spot.
Well, he's fighting hard for one this spring.
I feel like Kane has the better decent chance.
Well, he does, but he's not. It would be a lot more fun if Lincecum was good again. So this is not who are we cheering for to return value.
Okay.
This is who do we think will? I'll say Kane.
Lincecum, you know, ever since I saw that movie, what's that movie that he looks like the kid from?
You're on your own here.
You know, the one with Matthew McConaughey and Ben Affleck. That classic movie.
Classic movie.
Yeah, yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Dazed and Confused. Dazed and Confused. That's one of the best soundtracks of any movie of all time.
That's a terrible movie.
Oh, what?
It's what? The worst, bro.
No, it's an amazing
Can
movie.
Can you tell me one thing that happens in that movie?
Well, all the junior high kids get peddled.
Nothing happens. There's no plot. It's a plotless movie. And now that kid looks exactly like Tim Lincecum, and he's even a pitcher, that Tim Lincecum, I hate him even more for reminding me.
What's wrong with that kid? He was one of the...
No, it's just a bad movie.
No.
And I don't want to think about that.
Dude, Twitter's not going to be kind to you on this one.
Dude, I've already taken heat for that one. Malcolm in Pennsylvania. Dear Abby, Alana, and Bevers.
No clue.
Oh, I know this one.
Broad City?
Broad City. You're such a Googler, man. Go watch Broad City. It's funny.
So Broad City is better than Dazed and Confused?
Yeah, Broad City's hit or miss, unfortunately. Okay. But just about anything is better than Dazed and Confused, except for the new RoboCop movie, which was hot garbage. I'm wondering when Hector Olivera should be drafted. What do you think?
Yeah, he didn't go in this one, did he?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that because he's probably not going to play a whole lot this year, I'm guessing. And I don't know. Even if he plays most of the year, I'm not sure he's going to be better than, say, Odor.
But if we read the rest of the question, he's in a 16-team league that allows for a couple of minor league stashes.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, so I mean, he needs to be drafted there, and he's asking where, and I'm saying, I think probably a little after Rognando Odor.
Okay.
Are you telling me I have to read the entire question?
No. I didn't. Maybe I was the only one that just stopped listening when you stopped talking.
No, I should have read more. Here's a movie I like.
Well, you look flummoxed there. You think Olivera should go live?
It's hard work to try to look these things up on Google and answer the questions.
Hello, Mouth Chunk and Data.
No, you know I don't know that.
I probably should, but I'm not looking them up anymore because I'm trying to focus and read the questions fully so I know.
It's Goonies, right?
Probably.
Yeah. I've been proposed... I don't have a name on this email, by the way. I've been proposed to trade in my Dynasty League, and I need your advice. 12-team daily head-to-head, 7x7, OBP instead of average, quality starts instead of wins. Here's the trade. My Jock Peterson for his Matt Harvey.
Holy cow.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Except.
Quickly.
Okay. Do it. So you'd give up Peterson for Harvey.
Yes.
10-team 5x5 Roto League. Again, I don't have an email on this. Damn it. Arenado and Altuve are my starters at third and second. I have Rendon, who would be my middle infielder.
Wow.
If he starts the year on the DL, I'll move Simeon to middle infield, but would like to pick up another middle infielder until Rendon is back, so who do you suggest? Flores, Simmons, Lowry, Miller, Phillips, Jeanette, Jose Ramirez.
Jerko?
You like him better than all those guys?
Maybe he's not available.
I guess it's possible that he's not available. Who do you like here?
I mean, in terms of overall value, I like Jeanette the best, but it you know, they're so similar, it'd be a needs-based thing. So I could see taking Jose Ramirez for the steals if I needed help there.
I really kind of like Andrelton Simmons. I think he's got a bounce back year this year.
Cool. Well, I just drafted him in a different league. So
well, fantastic.
Right. Have fun at Jupiter.
We shall.
And thank you all for listening. So, yeah, we still have bold predictions to get to. We'll update you on some position battles. It's almost time for baseball. Quite exciting. Heath, thank you for Googling.
Yes, I'm going to get better at Googling, too. I'm actually a pretty good Googler. It's just the focusing while I Google.
Al?
I think you need to get better at Googling, but hiding that you're Googling.
Yeah.
That's going to be more difficult.
Correct me if I'm wrong. He has kind of a loud keyboard.
Yes.
I'm a loud typer.
You are?
Typist.
It's chunky when he's getting the data.
Into his mouth.
It might just be because I've got a Mac.
Could be. So that's Heath Cummings. I'm Melchior. I'm Adam Azer. Adios. Happy April Fools.